you spot it first in the shower drain. Or maybe you're standing in front of a bathroom mirror under that brutally harsh fluorescent lighting.
Oh, that lighting is the worst.
Right. Or like someone tags you in a photo from behind and you just stare at it thinking, wait, when exactly did that happen?
Yeah, it really sneaks up on you.
Spotting hair loss isn't just, you know, a minor cosmetic annoyance. It feels like this direct attack on your identity and how you feel walking into any room.
It absolutely does.
Welcome to the Pit Cut Podcast. I'm Annabelle, the female half of this hosting duo. And sitting across from me is our resident male expert, Bill Pitcott. We have an incredibly detailed roadmap for you today.
We really do. It's packed.
And I want to mention right up front that the amazing information in today's deep dive is sourced directly from the bestseller ebooks on our ebook store.
The best out there, honestly.
It is an absolute goldmine, so please visit www.pitcott.com/books to download.
Subscribe to our channel if you haven't, activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads, and don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating. We appreciate you giving us a 5-star rating to propel this podcast to help others too.
Absolutely. Please do that. So let's just unpack this emotional weight right away, because society tends to dismiss hair loss with a shrug.
Yeah, just joke about buying a good baseball cap, right?
Exactly. They just call it vanity. But, I mean, hair frames your face. It's literally how you've recognized yourself since you were a kid.
So that sinking feeling you get when you see it thinning is completely valid. It's a real loss.
But what the Pitcott research makes brilliantly clear is that this condition is, like, almost always addressable if you stop panicking.
Right. Desperation leads to terrible decision-making. Mm-hmm. You have to start applying structured, intelligent science.
And that is the whole mission of our deep dive today, right?
Exactly. The people who actually stop their hair loss and even reverse it are the ones who understand what is happening at a cellular level. They don't just guess.
Which brings us to the ultimate trap. The research uses this perfect analogy that I love.
Oh, the painkiller one.
Yeah. Skipping straight to treatments without a diagnosis is like taking painkillers without finding out what's actually causing the pain.
It's totally backwards.
But I actually look at it more like a sputtering car engine.
Okay, I like where this is going.
Imagine opening the hood of a car that's misfiring. And instead of running a diagnostic check, you just start blindly pouring premium oil everywhere.
Just dumping transmission fluid and random fuel additives all over the engine block, hoping something fixes it.
Right. Like, how much time and money are you wasting on random serums and specialized combs before you even know what's wrong?
Millions of dollars across the industry. And more importantly, years of irreplaceable time.
It's tragic, honestly.
This is exactly why seeing a dermatologist or a trichologist is the absolute non-negotiable first step. Mm. You cannot solve a biological complex with guesswork.
So what are they actually looking for?
Well, a specialist will run specific blood panels because your hair is essentially a metabolic barometer. It tells us what is failing internally.
Okay, I want to challenge that slightly. If it's just male or female pattern baldness, which we know is genetic, why do I need a blood test?
Because it's rarely just one thing.
Shouldn't I just assume it's my genetics and start treatment?
No, because you could have a genetic predisposition combined with a massive internal deficiency. And if you only treat the genetics, you will still lose your hair.
Oh, wow. So you have to fix both.
Exactly. Let's look at thyroid function, for example. The thyroid is it's the master metabolic engine of the body.
Okay, so it runs the whole system.
Right. And hair matrix cells, those are the cells responsible for building the actual hair shaft. They are some of the most rapidly dividing cells in the entire human body.
Meaning they need a ton of energy, I'm guessing?
Massive amounts.
Yeah.
If your thyroid is underactive, it creates this biological blackout. Cellular turnover slows down everywhere.
So the body just halts hair growth entirely to conserve energy.
Exactly. It just shuts down the factory because the power grid is failing.
That makes total sense. What about iron? The Pitcott research heavily emphasizes testing ferritin levels.
Yeah, so ferritin is the specific protein that stores iron, and iron is the crucial building block of hemoglobin.
And hemoglobin is what carries oxygen, right?
Yeah, I got it. It's the exact molecule in your red blood cells that carries oxygen to your tissues. If your ferritin is low, you are experiencing microscopic tissue hypoxia.
Wait, hypoxia? Like suffocating.
Yes, your follicles are literally suffocating. So no matter how many expensive topical treatments you apply, it won't matter.
Because there's no oxygen.
Exactly. If there isn't enough oxygen arriving via the bloodstream to power that rapid cellular division, the hair simply falls out.
Suffocating the hair from the inside. That is wild.
It really is. And another big one is vitamin D.
Yeah, the Pitcott source mentioned vitamin D, which completely surprised me. I thought that was just for bone health.
It's a super common misconception. Vitamin D is actually a pro-hormone.
A hormone? Really?
Yeah, and keratinocytes, which are the cells that process keratin in your hair follicles, have dedicated vitamin D receptors.
Oh, so they are actively looking for it.
Right. This compound is heavily involved in the creation of entirely new hair follicles. So if you are deeply deficient, you aren't just losing hair.
You're failing to grow new ones.
Your body is literally failing to generate the very pathways needed to grow new ones. It just stops.
That is terrifying, but also incredibly fixable once you know.
Exactly. And of course, the blood panels will check your overall hormone levels to spot androgen imbalances. Getting this diagnosis is the foundation.
Because everything else we are about to discuss is built on knowing exactly which biological driver we are fighting.
You have to know your enemy first.
Okay, so let's say you've done the smart thing. You have your blood work, you know your baseline, and you're ready to fight back.
This is where it gets exciting.
Right. The Pitcott material moves into the heavy hitters.
Yeah.
The clinically proven treatments.
The real pharmaceutical science.
No ancient secret herbs in a $50 dropper bottle here. Let's start with minoxidil. I know it's the most widely used topical treatment.
It's everywhere, yeah.
But how does it actually force a hair to grow? Is it just magic?
Well, minoxidil's origin story is fascinating. It was originally developed in the 1970s as a potent oral medication for severe hypertension.
High blood pressure, right.
Exactly. But during the clinical trials, researchers noticed this highly unexpected systemic side effect. The patients were growing excessive hair.
A very happy accident in the laboratory.
Seriously. So they realized they could formulate it as a liquid or a foam just for the scalp.
But what is it doing mechanically? Is it just acting like a fertilizer on the skin?
Not exactly.
Oh.
It's acting as a potent vasodilator. At a cellular level, minoxidil opens up ATP-sensitive potassium channels.
Okay, potassium channels in the blood vessel.
Right, in the smooth muscle cells of the blood vessels. This causes those vessels to physically widen and relax.
So they open up like a highway.
Exactly. When you apply it directly to the scalp, you are artificially creating a massive, localized rush of blood flow.
And with blood comes all the good stuff.
A flood of oxygen, nutrients, and those critical iron and vitamin compounds we just talked about. They're delivered straight to the starving dermal papilla at the base of the follicle.
So it's basically forcing the supply chain open.
That's a great way to put it. Furthermore, this mechanism forcibly shifts resting hair follicles into the anagen phase.
The active growth phase, right.
Yeah, and it prolongs it. It is highly effective for both men and women. But there is a catch.
There's always a catch.
Because it relies on artificially keeping those vessels wide open, if you stop applying it, the blood vessels constrict back to their genetic baseline.
Oh, no. So the oxygen supply drops again.
And you will lose any hair that was dependent on the medication.
So it's not a cure. It's a lifelong management strategy, which, you know, leads me to my next question.
Okay.
If minoxidil is just bringing oxygen and nutrients to the follicle, what happens if the environment around the follicle is actively toxic?
That is the crucial missing link for a lot of people.
Like, what if hormones are actively attacking it? That brings us to finasteride, and I have to be honest, this is where a lot of people get terrified.
Oh, absolutely. Messing with hormones sounds incredibly risky to most folks.
It's a very valid concern. So how does this precise enzyme mechanism actually work?
Well, finasteride is an oral medication, typically prescribed for men, designed to target the absolute root cause of androgenetic alopecia.
Which is the genetic balding.
Right. It specifically blocks an enzyme in your body called 5-alpha reductase.
Okay, 5-alpha reductase. What does that enzyme actually do?
Its primary job is to bind with regular testosterone and convert it into a much more potent, aggressive androgen called DHT, or dihydrotestosterone.
And DHT is the bad guy here.
For people genetically predisposed to hair loss, DHT is the ultimate follicle killer. It literally binds to the androgen receptors on the hair follicle and slowly miniaturizes it.
Miniaturizes it, so it just shrinks it down.
Exactly. Every hair cycle, the hair grows back thinner, shorter, and weaker until the follicle completely scars over and dies.
Wow, so it's a slow strangulation.
It is. But finasteride blocks that 5-alpha reductase enzyme, slashing DHT levels in the scalp by up to 70%.
70%. So it literally stops the attack in its tracks.
It does. It's incredibly effective.
But reducing a powerful hormone by 70% has to have systemic effects, right? What about those clinical warnings regarding libido or mental fog?
That's what scares everyone. But the clinical data spanning decades is highly reassuring for the vast majority of users.
Really? So it's safe?
Yes. The incidence of side effects like decreased libido or erectile dysfunction occurs in a very small percentage of men. We're talking typically around 1% to 2% in controlled trials.
Okay, so it's quite rare, but still something to be aware of.
Exactly. However, because it alters hormone profiles, a doctor must evaluate your specific risk.
Right, you can't just buy it over the counter.
No. And it is strictly contraindicated for women who are pregnant or trying to conceive. They shouldn't even handle Prush tablets due to the risk of fetal development abnormalities.
That is a huge warning. Good to know. But for those who are highly sensitive to oral medications, the source mentioned that there are now topical forms, right?
Yes, topical forms of finasteride and dutasteride. And this is a massive breakthrough in the science.
Because it stays local.
Exactly. By compounding these DHT blockers into a topical solution, you apply them directly to the scalp. The medication binds locally to the tissue.
So it heavily suppresses the DHT right at the follicle level.
Right, while drastically reducing how much of the drug gets absorbed systemically into the bloodstream.
That is brilliant. You get the protection without the systemic risk.
It's a game changer for a lot of guys.
Okay, I have to pivot here because the Pitcop material highlights something that sounds straight out of a science fiction movie.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Low-level laser therapy, LLLT. You literally wear a helmet or a cap that shoots lasers into your skull? Come on, does this actually work?
I know. It sounds like a complete gimmick.
Or just really expensive theater.
But it is FDA cleared, and the photobiomodulation science behind it is robust.
Photobiomodulation? Try saying that 3 times fast.
Right. These devices emit specific wavelengths of red light, usually around 650 nanometers.
And what's special about that number?
This specific wavelength penetrates the optical window of the skin perfectly, reaching the exact depth of the hair follicle bulb.
Oh, wow. So the light hits the bulb, and then what happens?
The photons are absorbed by an enzyme inside the mitochondria of your cells called cytochrome slick oxidase.
So it's interacting directly with the cell's power plant.
Exactly. This interaction dramatically stimulates the mitochondria to produce more ATP, which is cellular energy.
It's akin to giving the hair follicle a massive energy drink.
That's a perfect analogy. It reduces local inflammation and physically extends the growth phase.
That's amazing. But do you just use it by itself?
No, it works best as an adjunct, meaning you use it for like 15 minutes, 2 to 3 times a week, alongside minoxidil or finasteride.
Oh, so it's a team player rather than a standalone miracle.
Exactly. Using light to alter cellular energy is just one tool in the kit.
That is wild. And speaking of advanced in-office science, we have to talk about PRP, platelet-rich plasma therapy. The breakdown in the Pitcot source is meticulous.
PRP is biological recycling at its absolute finest. It's really cool.
Walk me through the process. How does it work?
You go into a clinic, and a medical professional draws a small amount of your own blood, just like a normal blood test.
Okay, easy enough.
Then they place those vials into a specialized centrifuge, which spins at incredibly high speeds to physically separate the red blood cells from the plasma.
Oh, so that's how they isolate it.
Right. This isolates and highly concentrates your platelets.
And platelets are the cells that rush to heal a wound when you cut yourself, right?
Exactly. Inside those platelets are alpha granules packed with powerful vascular endothelial growth factors.
Growth factors? That sounds important.
They are. The doctor takes that concentrated liquid gold and injects it in a grid pattern directly across the thinning areas of your scalp.
Ouch. But okay, so you are violently stimulating dormant follicles with your body's own localized repair system.
Violently, but effectively. It typically requires 3 to 4 initial sessions spaced a month apart, followed by maintenance every 6 months.
And it's not cheap, right?
No, at $500 to $1,500 a session, it is definitely a financial investment. But for many, the tissue rejuvenation is visibly profound.
I am truly amazed by the sheer scale of the science we have access to right now. But hey, we need to take a quick pause here because the energy is so high and I want to make sure you have all the resources you need.
Absolutely.
Be sure to visit www.pitcot.com for so much more incredible content like this.
And please subscribe to our channel if you haven't and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. Also, press the like button And rate us if you love our show. It helps in the recommendation algorithm so others can access it too. And don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating.
Awesome. All right, let's get right back into the mechanics. We've covered the heavy hitters.
The clinical treatments, yes.
But the Pidcock research presents a really sobering reality check here.
Yeah, this is where people trip up.
You can plant all the seeds you want, you can use the lasers and the drugs, but if the soil itself is toxic, nothing will grow. Your scalp is the soil.
And it is living, breathing skin that demands to be maintained.
So what makes it toxic?
Well, if your scalp is chronically inflamed, you are actively fighting against your own expensive treatments. The primary culprit for a toxic scalp environment is often the very thing people use to clean it.
Wait, shampoo?
Harsh daily shampoos loaded with heavy sulfates.
But sulfates are what make the shampoo foam up and give you that squeaky clean feeling, right? I always thought that meant it was working. Why is that bad?
Because that squeaky feeling means you have violently stripped the scalp of its natural lipid barrier.
The protective oils.
Exactly. When you do this daily, the scalp overcompensates by producing even more sebum while simultaneously developing low-grade chronic inflammation.
Oh, so it gets oily and inflamed at the same time.
Right. And inflammation triggers an immune response that is an absolute death sentence for a healthy hair bulb.
So what's the biological fix? Do we just stop washing our hair?
No, definitely wash it. But first, switch to a gentle sulfate-free formula to preserve that lipid barrier.
Okay, gentle is key.
Second, if you have any signs of dandruff or seborrheic dermatitis, you cannot ignore them. They are red flags.
But isn't dandruff just dry skin?
That's a huge myth. Dandruff is actually an overgrowth of a naturally occurring yeast called Malassezia.
Ew, a yeast.
Yeah, and this yeast feeds on your scalp oils and excretes highly inflammatory oleic acid. You need clinical ingredients to stop it.
So what do we look for in the label?
Shampoos containing zinc-pyrithione or selenium sulfide are excellent. But the gold standard mentioned in the research is ketoconazole.
Ketoconazole. How does that work differently than the others?
It is a potent antifungal that physically punches holes in the cell wall of the yeast.
Wow, it just obliterates them.
Effectively, yes. Okay. It obliterates the microscopic irritants causing the inflammation. Furthermore, ketoconazole has mild antiandrogenic properties.
Meaning it fights the DHT too.
Exactly. It weakly competes with DHT at the receptor level on the scalp. It is an amazing multi-tool for scalp optimization.
That is fascinating. Now, the soil needs to be clean, but it also needs to be cultivated.
Right.
I was completely stunned by a specific 2016 study published in the journal ePlasty that the Pidcock source highlighted.
Oh, the massage study?
Yes. It claimed that just 4 minutes of daily scalp massage actually increased hair thickness. 4 minutes.
It sounds too easy, doesn't it?
It really does. How does simply rubbing your head change the physical structure of the hair?
Well, it comes down to a biological process called mechanotransduction.
Mechanotransduction. Break that down for me.
When you use your fingertips, and never your nails, by the way, to apply firm circular pressure to the scalp, you are physically stretching the cells.
Stretching the cells of the dermal papilla at the base of the hair follicle.
Exactly. This consistent mechanical stretching literally alters their gene expression.
Are you serious? It changes the gene expression.
Yes, prompting them to produce thicker, more robust hair shafts over a 24-week period.
That is incredible.
Furthermore, it permanently improves the localized vascular network, ensuring a steady blood supply. It costs $0, takes 4 minutes, and is clinically proven.
That is the best return on investment I've ever heard of. But here's where the Pidcock material really hit a nerve for me regarding physical tension.
Yeah, the dark side of tension.
Exactly. We are talking about gently stretching the cells to promote growth. But with our daily styling habits, we are literally uprooting our own hair.
It's true. Traction alopecia.
We are self-sabotaging our hairlines with tight ponytails and braids. It's crazy.
It is entirely self-inflicted mechanical damage.
How bad is it, really?
The constant, unrelenting physical tension from tight hairstyles pulls the follicle away from its blood supply. Over years, this chronic traction causes permanent scarring along the hairline.
Then once it scars.
Once that tissue scars over, the follicle is dead forever. No medication can bring it back.
Oh man, that is devastating. And heat styling compounds this damage exponentially, right? Because we're frying the hair shaft.
We are literally boiling it. Mm. Every strand of hair contains trace amounts of moisture inside.
Okay.
When you clamp a 400-degree flat iron onto it, that internal moisture instantly boils, expands, and blows microscopic holes through the cuticle.
It just blasts through the hair.
Yes. the hair becomes incredibly brittle and snaps off near the root, drastically amplifying the visual appearance of thinning. You must turn down the heat and eliminate the tension.
Okay, so the soil is healthy, the inflammation is gone, and we aren't physically ripping the hair out with ponytails and flat irons. We are using clinical treatments.
You're doing everything right on the outside.
Right. But what is fueling the construction of the hair internally? Like, why do so many people buy those expensive hair gummies and see absolutely zero results?
Because they fundamentally misunderstand how the body prioritizes nutrients.
How does it work then?
Hair is constructed almost entirely of a complex protein called keratin. Creating millions of keratin strands requires a massive, constant supply of amino acids, vitamins, and sheer caloric energy.
So it's a huge drain on the body's resources.
Exactly. But the body operates on a strict system of biological triage.
Triage, like emergency room prioritization, where they treat the most critical patients first.
Precisely like that. If your diet is poor, or you are severely stressed and lacking essential nutrients, your brain evaluates your survival needs.
Let me guess. Hair is not a priority.
Right. Pumping blood to your heart and liver is deemed critical. Growing hair on your scalp is deemed completely non-essential.
So it just cuts the funding.
Exactly. The body ruthlessly rations those limited nutritional resources away from the follicles to keep you alive.
So these supplements only work if you're actually starving the factory.
Exactly. If your blood work from step one shows a vitamin D or iron deficit, supplementing will yield incredible results by correcting the triage.
But if your blood work is fine...
If your blood work is perfect, popping high-dose biotin gummies will do absolutely nothing. You cannot biologically supercharge a follicle that is already fully nourished.
You just end up with very expensive urine.
Huh. Basically, yes.
Okay, I have to challenge you on something else the Pitt Cotsource brought up, because honestly, it sounds completely backwards. The shedding paradox.
Oh, the shedding face.
Yeah.
This breaks so many people.
Right. I finally commit to a routine. I start applying minoxidil, and you're telling me my hair might actually start falling out faster in the first few weeks.
It absolutely might, yes.
And I'm supposed to be happy about that. How is losing more hair a good thing?
I know, it induces absolute panic. But you have to understand the biological hair cycle.
Okay, break it down for me.
Hair spends years in the anagen, or growth phase. Eventually, it transitions into the telogen phase, where it stops growing and rests in the scalp for a few months before naturally falling out.
So it's just sitting there waiting to drop.
Right. When you apply a powerful stimulant like minoxidil, it jolts the whole system. The medication demands that all dormant, resting follicles immediately shift back into the active anagen growth phase.
Oh, I see. It has to physically push the old resting hair out of the pore to make room for the new, thicker hair to grow in.
Exactly. It is an eviction notice for the weak hairs.
An eviction notice. I love that.
That initial shedding is absolute physical proof that the medication is penetrating the tissue and working at a cellular level.
But people don't see it that way, do they?
Sadly, no. This exact moment is when the vast majority of people panic, assume the drug is making them bald, and throw it in the trash.
They fall right into the consistency trap.
They quit right before the cellular turnover happens. It's heartbreaking.
Yes. Hair growth is excruciatingly slow. You really need rigid structural rules to survive this phase.
You do. The Pitt Cotsource strongly advises taking baseline photos in identical harsh lighting.
Do not hide the thinning. Document it accurately.
Exactly. Set daily calendar reminders. You must commit to a minimum of 6 unbroken months before your eyes will even be able to perceive the structural density changes in the mirror.
6 months is a long time, but it's worth it. But what if someone has done all of this?
Like they maxed out the treatments.
Yeah. They've managed the blood work. They've stayed strictly consistent with the topicals and the oral medications for years, but the hair loss was just too advanced.
It happens.
The source doesn't shy away from the ultimate step, the surgical ceiling.
Right. For some, non-surgical options will eventually hit a biological wall. That is where modern hair transplant surgery comes into play.
Specifically FUE, right?
Yes, follicular unit extraction. The microscopic precision of modern FUE is staggering.
How do they actually do it?
A highly skilled surgeon uses a micropunch tool to extract individual follicular units groups of 1 to 4 hairs from the safe donor zone at the very back of your scalp.
Why the back of the scalp specifically? Why not the sides?
Because of donor dominance. The follicles located in the occipital region at the back of the head are genetically programmed to be highly resistant to DHT.
Oh, so they are just built different.
They simply do not possess the receptors that trigger miniaturization. The surgeon extracts these invincible follicles and meticulously implants them into the balding areas at the front.
And they stay invincible.
Yes. Because the follicles retain their genetic resistance, the transplanted hair is effectively permanent.
But there is a massive catch, isn't there? I've seen people get transplants and then look terrible a few years later.
There is a huge catch. The surgery does absolutely nothing to stop your native hair, the non-transplanted hair, from continuing to die.
So the hair around it just keeps falling out.
Exactly. If you get a transplant and immediately stop taking finasteride or minoxidil, the native hair surrounding your new transplant will continue to fall out due to DHT exposure.
And then you end up with an isolated island of transplanted hair at your hairline and a completely bald scalp right behind it.
Which looks incredibly unnatural. Every ethical board-certified surgeon will mandate that you remain on a medical therapy protocol post-surgery to protect the entire ecosystem.
Because it's all connected. You can't just buy a new hairline and walk away.
Exactly. It's a lifelong commitment to the whole scalp.
This whole journey, it brings us to something that the Pitcott source highlighted that honestly gave me chills, the emotional arc.
It's so often ignored in the medical community.
So many guides just give you a sterile 5-step list. They don't talk about the mental toll, the frustration of the shedding phase, or the bad hair days that feel like a profound personal failure.
It requires immense emotional stamina to get through it.
It truly does, and the source is deeply compassionate on this point. It firmly reminds the reader that hair loss, regardless of the stage, does not dictate your worth, your professional capability, or your attractiveness.
I think that is so important to hear.
Right. Confidence is absolutely not determined by your follicle count. Some of the most commanding, successful, and compelling people on the planet are completely bald.
Absolutely true.
The goal of this entire roadmap isn't to chase some airbrushed, impossible ideal that society pushes on us. The goal is autonomy.
Taking back control.
Exactly. If taking action makes you feel more in control of your own body, then it is a totally worthy pursuit.
That is the perfect takeaway.
Yeah.
You are armed with the precise science now. You understand the enzymes, the blood flow, the biological triage, and the surgical realities.
Keep the appointments, optimize the scalp environment, push through the shedding phase.
Progress is a long, slow arc, and the people who succeed are the ones who combine scientific literacy with relentless consistency.
You've got far more ground to gain than you think. Which leaves me with a final provocative thought for you to chew on tonight.
I love these.
If taking structured scientific control of your hair loss can completely shift your emotional stamina and restore your confidence, what other inevitable parts of aging might you actually have total control over if you just applied the right cellular science?
Thank you for listening to the Pitcott Podcast. I will leave a link in the description below.
Subscribe to our channel if you haven't, and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. Also, press the like button and rate us if you love our show. It helps in the recommendation algorithm so others can access it too. Thank you for being there with us, and don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating.